So today's lesson is about the conversion of Saul to Paul. As we guys talked about a second ago, this happened after the resurrection of Jesus. And so Paul was not one of the main disciples of Jesus or his earthly ministry. He wasn't supportive of Christians at all. He's actually the total opposite. As you'll see here, he was out there murdering Christians, and he was out there doing some pretty heinous things to the Christian faith. However, after Jesus raised from the grave and ascended back into heaven, Jesus actually meets Paul on this road to Damascus, and the encounter, which is, he saw back then, and the encounter that Saul has with the risen Jesus changes everything for him. He changes his name to Paul, and he becomes one of the most powerful Christian leaders that we have in the New Testament. And so I want you guys to think about this story today, though. This applies to our lives. As you guys are in high school, it applies to adults. There's lessons we can learn from how Paul changed his actions from being somebody that hated Christians to somebody now that loves God and is following after him. There's some key things that happened in Paul's conversion that that we should also take to heart today as well. So the passage is in Acts chapter 9. And if you want to read in Acts chapter 9, you can flip there today. Let me go ahead and read it here. So actually, real quick, I'm sorry. In Acts chapter 8, it says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death. At the time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul," now catch this, ready? "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison." And then as it continues on, basically we learn that Paul murders some of these Christians and brings them to be executed. He's a horrible, horrible person at this time. And now that flips to Acts chapter 9. Now catch this. "Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem." I want you guys to catch this. So Paul is going to this town of Damascus, and he's going there to basically capture more Christians. So he's not going there as like a little vacation or just going there to see a friend. He's actually going there on mission to capture more Christians and bring them into prison or possibly be executed for their faith. So this is what Paul is doing at this current moment. And then it says, "As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' And he said, 'Who are you to do?' And the men who journeyed with him stood speechless," which we probably all went to, "hearing a voice but seeing no one. Then Saul rose from the ground, and when his eyes were open, he saw no one. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was 3 days without sight, neither ate nor drank." Pretty nutty event there, if you think about it. You're a guy that's going out there killing Christians. All of a sudden, this light shines and the Lord Jesus reveals himself to you and says, "Why are you persecuting me?" And basically, at that moment, you realize, oh, I'm doing the wrong thing. Jesus is the Lord, and I've been persecuting Jesus and his followers for way too long. And you give your life to Jesus. He tells you to then go. And as you go, you're blind for 3 days, and you have no food. So pretty rough first encounter there in Christianity, if you think about it. A lot of people think that, oh, once I become a Christian, everything's going to be great and cheery and there's going to be no pain anymore. Paul comes a Christian and immediately goes blind and has no food for 3 days. So we'll talk about that here in a second. But I want you guys to think about this right here. There's three big lessons I want you guys to take away from this. Is number one is Paul didn't deserve this. Okay? If you were to ask people in this time period, who is the least deserving person of Jesus loving them? Everybody would probably answer Saul. Because he was like the main guy out there against Christians, no, let's persecute them, put them in prison, kill them, things like that. So Saul doesn't deserve Jesus showing him love and kindness. Yet Jesus still chooses to reveal himself to him. He takes time to reveal himself to Saul. And if you, like, I want you guys to catch something really important here. Instead of Jesus saying, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I'm going to now strike you down or hurt you or, you know, break something on you. There's no physical harm done to Paul. Jesus doesn't come out and curse at him and say, how dare you be such an evil, blank. Instead of Jesus immediately gives him a mission and a calling and begins to use him in powerful ways for the kingdom. That's true love. You know, think about somebody in your life today was persecuting you. They were saying horrible things about you. They were threatening to hurt you. You would probably not be the first person to be like, you know what, I'm going to help this person and use this person in great and mighty ways. You know, you're not going to want to be friends with that person. You're not going to have anything to do with them. But yet Jesus says, I still love Saul. I still die for him. I still have a plan for him. And I want him to follow me. Because I still want to use him for my kingdom. Think about the kind of love that really is. And what I want you guys to think about in your lives today, you might not be out there persecuting Christians. Hopefully not. Hopefully not out there murdering people. But we all make mistakes. We all do things that are wrong. All of us do things that are against God's word. You know, we know, most of us here know the Bible pretty well. Yet we still choose many days not to follow it. However, through all of our disobedience to God, through all of our sin, Jesus says, I still died for that person. I still care for that person. And I still want to use that person. And if we just turn back to Jesus, he's not going to be like, oh no, too late for you, Caitlin. Too late for you, Aaron. He's not going to be like, strike it down now. He's going to say, welcome back, my child, with open arms. And he's going to say, I still have a purpose and a plan for you. And it's a plan for good. That's the kind of love Jesus showed Paul and the kind of love he encourages, he wants to show us today. I want you guys to also think about this. Jesus doesn't just look at us where we are. Jesus sees who we can be. I want you to think about that. Jesus sees who we can be. So, when people look at Saul from an earthly perspective, people might think, that guy is hopeless. He's too far gone. There's no way. But Jesus can see much deeper than that. He knows the person God created Saul, eventually Paul, to be. He knows the kind of gifts and abilities God's given him, and he knows who he could be if he gives his life to Jesus and follows him. And so Jesus has that perspective. He has the same perspective on you today, too. He may think, well, I'm not talented in this, or I'm not skilled enough in this, or I'm not the best at this, so Jesus can't use me. But Jesus doesn't see just what you're at right now in your earthly state currently today. He sees who you can be if you fully abide in him. He sees the person God's created you to be and is calling you to be. And he knows if you give your life to him, if you really submit your ways to him, the kind of person he's going to use you to be and form you into. If you think about this, it talks about in the Bible Jesus being basically a potter and we're the clay. If anybody's ever watched pottery being made, I tried it before in college. Very, very difficult. It was not easy at all. Mine looked pretty terrible. Basically, you take some clay, you throw it on this little spinning wheel, and as the wheel's spinning, you begin to form it and shape it. Again, very skillfully it has to be done. And you begin to form and shape it, and after a while, it ends up being a really beautiful pot. So when it says in the Bible that we're the clay, it means that we're all a mess. You know, without Jesus, we're all in a way like Saul. We're doing things sinful and wrong, and we're going ways we shouldn't go in, and we're messing up our lives in a lot of ways. When we submit our ways to Jesus and say, Jesus, I want to follow you, I'm going to trust in you, he begins to mold us, he begins to shape us, he begins to form us into the person God sees us that we can be, and that God sees that he created us to be. And then as our life begins to continue on, and the more we follow Jesus, the more beautiful our life begins to look, and the more we look honestly like Jesus. And it's something that we can be really proud of as well. So the second thing I want you guys to think about this is here. Paul immediately get submission. Okay? Now, here's what's important about this. A lot of people that become Christians, they seem to, or Christians might be a light term that I don't know, or a strong term, because it may not be genuine faith. But a lot of people that think they become Christians believe that they can just kind of live the same life that they're living and nothing really changes. They just now have this eternal life. That's not really true Christianity, because true Christianity is not just saying a prayer just so you can have eternal life. It's giving your life to Jesus. And when you do that, it means that now you have a mission. You have a purpose in life. All of us have a similar purpose in sharing the gospel. And all of us also have unique plans from God based on our unique abilities and gifts. He begins to reveal those over time. I want you to think about this. When Paul becomes a Christian, the first thing Jesus tells him to do is go into this town, because I'm about to use you to share my word with other people. Think about that. Like, it wasn't, okay, now you read the Bible for a few months or pray for a little while, and then I'll try to use you here in a year or two. He's like, no, if you're a Christian, if you decide to follow me, I'm going to start using you now. There's not a waiting period. Now you're a Christian, let's go. And let's start this new journey together. I want you guys to listen to this again. It says, Saul says, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, who you're persecuting." So he trembled and astonished. Saul said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And what did Jesus say? The Lord said to him, "Arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do from there." Now, he begins to use Paul, instead of going to these cities to persecute Christians, to actually spread the gospel more in these towns. And some of these towns were not very fond of Christians. And the people that Paul was with didn't follow Jesus. They were shocked, but they didn't give their life to Jesus like Paul did. And so they actually bound Paul. He gets basically thrown to prison multiple times in his life. But in addition to being thrown to prison, what happens when Paul's in prison? Anybody know? Well, there's a few things that, you know, because there's a story later in Acts when the prison gates open up, Paul and Silas are there, and they're basically, the prisoners stay in the prison, and the jailer, he spares his life, calls the prisoners stay, the jailer and his whole family become Christians. But there's more than just that. Think about this. If you're Saul or Paul, and you give your life to Christ, and he calls you to go in these towns where you're going to get arrested because of your faith, and you get thrown into prison, you're probably thinking, man, that's not a great plan, God. Like, that's not what I signed up for. But while Paul is in prison, he writes letters. He begins to write letters to churches that he's visited, towns that he's visited. And basically the letters he writes to these churches in these towns are about what you should do for the gospel, things he's seeing that they're doing well, things they need to turn away from. And those letters, years later, become most of the New Testament. So those letters that he writes to, like, the church in Corinth become 1st and 2nd Corinthians. The letters that he writes to the Ephesian church become Ephesians. I want you guys to think about that. The letter he writes to the church in Galatia becomes Galatians. So Paul can't see that in the moment. But because he's faithful to God, and he does whatever God's calling him to do, God is actually going to end up using Paul to be the greatest missionary of all time in the Bible. And really probably even in history today still. I mean, think about that. The words that God speaks through Paul, and then he writes these churches, thousands of years later, churches are reading those every Sunday and learning from God, hearing God's word and applying it to their lives. So sometimes when God's working through you, you can't see it in the moment, but you have to trust that God's plan is better than yours. So even if God leads you to a place where you're like, this doesn't seem like this is good. This doesn't seem like God's using me for a great purpose. If you remain faithful and trust in him, eventually, whether it's here on earth or in heaven, you're going to see how all this works together for good. And how God's going to use your faithfulness to him for a mighty, mighty way beyond what you could ever imagine it to be. And that's a really awesome thing to hold on to this morning. I also want you guys to catch this last part here. And it's number 3. Is Paul goes where the Lord leads. that, there's never a mention of hesitation here in Acts chapter 9, which is actually pretty fascinating. Once Paul sees that the Lord is Jesus and that he's good, he immediately goes wherever Jesus tells him to. There's no hesitation. Many times in our life today, especially growing up in America, if we believe God's calling us to go talk to our neighbor that maybe is different than us, or God's calling us to help that person at school that is maybe not in the popular crowd, or vice versa, whatever it may be, we're like, no, God, that can't be God. I can't do that. Like that. That's not about any of that. All he cared about was, am I honoring the Lord? Because I know when I get to heaven one day, that's the only thing that matters. And through my faithfulness in Jesus, thousands, probably millions of people now have read Paul's words through Jesus, the way he spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke through Paul, and have become a Christian, have given their life to Jesus. And that, think about that kind of reward in heaven. That'd be incredible to live with that kind of reward in heaven for all eternity, knowing that you were used in that way because of your faithfulness to God. So I want you guys to think about your life today, where you're at currently in your walk with Christ. Are you really, like we talked about years ago, fully surrendered? Have you really fully given your life to Jesus? Because if so, it'll be marked by your actions. It talks about in James, faith without works is dead. And what he means by that is, we don't have a works-based theology. Jesus saves us despite our actions. But if you truly give your life to Jesus, your actions should begin to change. Because the Holy Spirit is changing you from within. And if you're not a better disciple of Jesus today than what you were at this time last year, then something's wrong there. You know, something's wrong in your life. Either your priorities are out of order, either you're involved in things you shouldn't be involved in. And if that's the case, again, like Saul, Jesus is waiting with open arms to bring you back. And it starts with you repenting of your sin and saying, Jesus, I'm going to follow you again. And listening to where he's calling you to go. And when he does, you go. Don't question it, knowing that he has a greater plan than what you could ever see right now. So let me pray for us here, and we will. Just showing us, God, that even somebody like Saul, who comes Paul, was a horrible person in a lot of ways. He was persecuting your people. He was persecuting you. But yet, you still died for him. You still love him. You still have a plan for him. And you still use him in mighty, mighty ways. But God, I ask in our lives today, whatever we've done, whatever we're doing, whatever we're involved in, let us know that truth that you still died for us. You still love us. You still have a plan for us. And you still want to use us. And let us turn back to you, fully surrender, and begin to follow you wherever you lead us. And we give you all the glory and praise, Lord Jesus. Amen.
All right.